You are listening to the 1420 Sports Podcast, four beer with a sports talk and a whole lot more, with your hosts, Brent Radlinski from the Yankee Tavern North and Dave Van Robies from the Dutch Oven. Both of us are in Lethbridge, Alberta. Let's get into it.
1420 Podcast, Monday, June 7th, show 107. Back-to-back days, trying to get it on a regular schedule here because the 1420 golf team, we're off to a 6-2 start, like I said yesterday. Golf tomorrow, and then we'll get back on Mondays and Thursdays. So this is our regular schedule. Dave, talking 2 days in a row, this is some kind of a record all of a sudden.
Well, yeah, and I used to it. Like, you know, I like to save up some of my venting, but, you know, when I empty the bucket, and it was a busy day today, so I didn't have – the bucket's not quite full, but I'm sure I'll find something to say.
There's something to vent about and be angry and happy and all things at once. One thing that I was watching after we got off the air last night and watched some baseball. Yankees lost because they suck, but we won't talk about that anymore. But during about the fourth or fifth inning last night, the telecast on ESPN, Matt Versagian, Buster Olney, and A-Rod were on the air. Only two out of three of them were talking about this topic, and it was the what we talked about yesterday about the sticky stuff that the pitchers are using, and the grip and everything else. And Versagian and Olney were doing a lot of talking about the subject because it's a pretty big thing in baseball right now. For some reason, Dave, and I'm not exactly sure why, Mr. Alex Rodriguez, A-Fraud, was noticeably silent during the entire conversation. Now, any thoughts as to why he wouldn't have said anything?
Well, you know, when I want to know something about something I don't know to, I normally would go to someone who knows a lot more about it than me. And correct me if I'm wrong, but of the three men on the panel, I think A-Rod would know more about cheating than those two guys put together.
Out of the three men on the panel, he was the only one who cheated playing professional baseball.
And so,
Dave, it was awkwardly silent because I was sitting watching with the producer. It was awkwardly quiet. Like, he didn't say a word, and usually you can't get that guy to shut up.
Yeah, he just goes on and on and on. And it's then now his... You know, I guess he didn't have anything to add is what I'm gonna say now, because it would have been actually quite entertaining if he would have, well, you know, guys, when I was cheating, this is what I did, here's how I was doing it.
Like, it's just,
but I had the good stuff, and the guy would give it to me. I gave myself the needle and disposed of the needles. Like, I don't know how a pitcher would do it, but that's how I did it when I was cheating.
It was awkward, and I was like, if I liked the guy, I would have felt bad for him. But I was like, oh, I couldn't believe they brought it up. Like, it'd be like, I can't even think of an analogy that would. A comparable, even, that you would bring something up when somebody who did that thing, like, I don't even know what to compare it to.
And was it in the booth between innings then? Is that where they were talking about it?
It was during the game, and Versagian and A-Rod are in a studio somewhere in New York or Connecticut or wherever ESPN is, and Olney was at the game, so the three of them were Zooming.
Okay. Kind of like how Hockey Night does it between periods.
Yeah. But it was during the game. So there was people listening. It's like, oh man. And he didn't say not a word. Like, it was,
but on the screen the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Like, just
was his eyes wandering? Like, just like,
I couldn't believe it. It was shocking. It's a different subject, obviously, but if it was you don't want to talk about something that's what I have a tough time finding an analogy for it.
So he was the kid in class that didn't do his homework, and it's just like, don't call on me. When everybody raises their hands to.
Yeah, but, or he was the kid who got caught stealing in grade five. And there was people laughing about the thing that happened in grade five. He's like, oh, I did a bad thing. And I should, I don't want to talk about this. Please don't talk. Don't ask me a question. Don't ask me. Yeah. Like, so, like you're saying, don't ask me a question. I didn't read my the textbook. It was who, so like, oh man, it was funny. I don't know.
Who ate the last donut? I don't know. As he's wiping Boston cream off his corner of his face. Yeah,
Boston cream, all right. New England cream chowder or whatever. Anyways, I got to thinking earlier on Dave when I was driving home. And we were talking just off air about the draft, the NHL draft coming up. And there's been a lot of hit and misses in all sports and a lot of things that go on. Like with the COVID year and the drafting thing, you look back over the years, hits and misses in all sports are a thing. I don't count the baseball draft as a thing because it takes so long for players to get to the big league. So we won't talk about the baseball draft. But football, they're expected to make an impact right now. Hockey, same way, make an impact right now. Basketball, for sure. They draft these guys used to be out of high school. But this year with hockey and with, well, all of them, the hit and miss thing, I think you're going to have a situation that it might be trading your first round pick for a guy who's established might not be a bad deal.
It might be, as far as hockey is concerned, this might be one of those where the majority of the first rounders get sent back to finish to play one more year. So they can get back into the swing of things as a dominant player, not as one who had a year off of competitive hockey and now is expected to take a jump skill-wise, speed-wise, life-wise. It's going to be a tall ask for any of these players that are able to jump into the professional ranks right off the hop. And so maybe to just let them play one more year of junior, and that way they get to have their final year of junior as well. I don't know. We'll see how it goes because teams must be nervous as hell themselves that they haven't seen these guys in action in so long.
Well, because like hockey, not so much because of the salary cap, the rookie cap that there is. So there isn't a pretty penny out there that these guys are going to command. But I mean, 850 grand a year is still 850 grand a year. I mean, it's still a pretty good chunk of change, plus. Because you don't want. I can't see there in all these sports that I watch a lot and you watch a lot, but we haven't heard of any can't miss kids other than like Trevor Lawrence, obviously. In football, but hockey and basketball, because they play such a condensed schedule, you don't hear many can't miss prospects. And I wouldn't be, if I was the who finished last this or who got the first who ended up getting that pick, the draft lottery in hockey,
Buffalo.
I'd be listening.
It's why not, like. See what's out there. And if people want that pick, I would for sure be willing to entertain the idea. And then for something and your number one next year, why not? Because a top five talent is a top five talent. And Lord knows, ask the Oilers how easy it is to miss on those. There's going to be a lot more gray area and throwing darts at the board as opposed to having your eye on somebody and making that player yours. Like, cause you don't know,
you don't know. Like this is the kind of a year where, I mean, draft picks it's a crapshoot at the best of times, but like, well, let's just talk hockey here. And the Ottawa Senators in a 5-year span there, they had two really good, like two that first overall picks. I think it was 5 years. It might have been 3 or 4 years. It doesn't matter right now. But you look at the generational talent, that's in the new term when it comes to draft. They picked a guy, Alexander Daigle, I call him. Didn't pan out for nothing. I wouldn't say terrible, but didn't pan out.
Well, didn't they trade him to the Islanders for Chara?
I can't. No, that was Wade Redden.
Oh, okay.
And then you get a guy like Chris Phillips, who they drafted, who played for 18 years, not a superstar, but a solid player. These generation
Canada.
Yeah, these generational talents. How many of them actually turn out? Like, how many of these guys actually turn out to be the guy?
Well, it's kind of
in all sports.
Well, you have to define what generational talent is, right? Like, so
franchise guy.
Right.
Change the face of the franchise.
Okay. And then so, yeah. So McKinnon's that guy for the Avs.
Yeah.
Stamkos was, and now it's, well,
Kucherov and everybody else.
Yeah. Like, Tampa knows how to draft high impact career players. And then I think, especially your first rounder, especially if he's in the top 10. I would imagine what ideally you want is a top liner for 10 years.
Is that what you're hoping for? Like, is the guy's going to contribute a solid? Like, okay, he's going to be solid for 10 years. If he turns out better than that, great. If he's worse than that, that's not shit.
We don't want it. Yeah, like if we're going to take the next step, we need this guy to be a contributor, top line contributor. For 10 years.
You know, and then you look at, like, get into football a little bit here. Ricky Williams was drafted, and they traded a bunch of draft picks and the whole shebang to get Williams in New Orleans, Ditka, the whole bit. And the guy who ended up being the face of the franchise is Drew Brees.
Who came over from, who San Diego cut loose.
Right, who they cut loose. So it's a lot of this stuff is such a hit and miss thing, the draft. I don't envy a GM having to make these decisions. Because, man, it can go south quick.
Oh, yeah, it's like, you know, look at Buffalo. Like, they just can't. And everybody says that Buffalo, if they're going to give up on Eichel, they're going to want, like, a first and a second rounder. Like, huge thing. If he's so goddamn good, why is the team losing so bad every year? And that's...
That's just it.
Like, you know, and
he's not changing other players around him, making them better.
No, obviously. And he had Taylor Hall there. Like, and so we've talked about Taylor Hall being like, what kind of player is he? He's obviously not somebody you can hang your hat on and trust, because he's on his fifth team in
how many years?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
He plays on a new team every year, it seems. No, the draft is a funny thing, and you just can't miss, and what's a miss and what's a hit? And I think you nailed it there when you said if you can get 10 good years out of a guy that can hockey, that he contributes, he doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer, but if you can get 10 years out of a first rounder, I think that's what you want.
That's, yeah, and obviously you're hoping for more, but you got to, and then you got to hit. You got to hit, you got to make, if you can get your first rounder and then have an everydayer as well, like, especially if you can hit that rounds two or three or something like that. It's obviously
a Braden Point with Tampa.
Like, yeah.
Third or fourth rounder, I think, I believe. Like, yeah. Can't
Zetterberg,
miss.
Oops, sorry.
Who's the biggest can't miss prospect who flopped the worst in your lifetime that you can think of?
Well, it has to, like, for me, the first one that comes to my mind is Nail Yakupov. First overall and out of the league in 3 years? Or is he still in the league? I don't know.
No, he's playing in the KHL now. He went to St. Louis, and then that was pretty much it for him. I got one for you, and it was a different situation, obviously. But just imagine – if the Indianapolis Colts took Ryan Leaf instead of Peyton Manning. Oh,
that
would have been a tale of two cities right there. Like, just, oh
yeah. Because they were there. Right. And you know what? It would have been funny if San Diego would have drafted him and he would have said no, because then that would have been both Manning brothers had said no.
I never thought of it. That's exactly it. No. like we said, the draft be a tough thing, and they're just kids, and they're coming out, and they're most guys, they're just bigger, faster, stronger at that point. And then they just don't develop and don't become what they want. I mean, it'd be a lot of pressure being the kid as well. I just find that there's a lot more. I hope that every kid that gets drafted, the franchise isn't saying, okay, this guy's going to be the next, like Lafreniere with the Rangers. He's not going to be the next Gretzky or Messier or a great Ranger. Like, just be a good, solid player, 10-year guy.
And then we'll talk about where we're going to put you in the pantheon. Yeah. It's such a different game today, too. The kids are so – they're trained. They have – they're skating their knowledge of the game, their knowledge of different systems. That's been coached into them since – they've been 14 years old now, right? They're so much more professional ready when they come into the league as opposed to 10 years ago.
That's so weird. We've talked about it off the air a lot. It's just so weird how kids are robotic and they have talent. That's unbelievable. It's like we're talking hockey a little bit more, but how they can do things that kids 20 years ago couldn't do. But on the other hand, they're so robotic. Like they be here. It's bizarre to me, but I don't know. We'll talk about it later on. 1420 podcast, Monday, the 7th of June. Man, it was a plus 19 with a wind chill of minus 4 today here in Southern Alberta. I don't like it, Dave. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, there's times where I miss Medicine Hat because this wind, it gets to about Bull Island and it stops.
It's something else. And tonight it was cold. I was telling you. I had my son had ball practice tonight, so I went out there and with my lawn chair and book, and I had to go back to the car and grab a blanket, and then the last half hour I said screw it. I went to the car and listened to the hockey game. It was cold. Like, it was the coldest plus 19. But what do you do? Southern Alberta. We're the
part of it. 1420 podcast. We are everywhere we get your podcasts, and also YouTube. Jim's got it. He requested me send some the videos to get more of a YouTube presence. The CRLB mugs on the screen, on the big screen. However you guys watch YouTube, cause it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of laughs me and Dave have, and you guys can laugh along with us on a weekly basis.
Dave, I'm gonna have to start shaving them.
You're a hairy beast just like myself. I'm a once a week guy, and that's it. Hey, like, I'm good for once a week, and that's it.
Same. I don't grow the big beards, which I'm kind of happy for. But I'm looking a little grizzled today. But all the time.
Here we go. 1420 podcast. June 7th, once again, still it's anyways, got thinking the other day, tried to do this one a few weeks back. We got rambling about God knows what and God knows who, and it's probably very entertaining, but we kind of stumbled away from this one. But Dave, over the course of mankind and history, David versus Goliath, and this guy should have beat that guy, and you how did that team win, and underdogs, the upsets and everything else. There's been some teams over the years that should have won a championship and just didn't get it done. Yeah, like I'm not talking New England Patriots with their Super Bowl loss to the Giants in whatever year that was, 09, 010.
The David Tyree catch.
Whatever year. I'm not talking things like that because New England has won a lot of championships, so we're not going to play the violin for them by any means, but there's been some teams over the years that were really, really good and just didn't close it out for one reason or another. And had multiple chances at doing so and just never got it done. When I think of one that we spoke about these guys yesterday in a different sport, but the Michigan Wolverines with the Fab Four or Fab Five, then they went down to four quick, and they went to the NCAAs, and Chris Webber with the timeout got the technical, and they never got one with that talent group. That one kind of still, I think about that a lot when NCAA comes up.
Yeah, that's an excellent one because they were so good, and it's probably the most famous freshman group ever. Like one of the most famous basketball teams ever. Like put them up with like the Running Rebels.
Yeah.
That group, like the Rebels closed it out. But that Michigan team couldn't, and they really should have. They really should have. That Chris Webber timeout didn't cost him the game. It prevented them from tying the game.
Yeah.
You got to remember that.
And you think after the first, like, cause they all came back their second year. You think after the first year, they would have, okay, we got the first year blue because they were freshmen. They're not supposed to win.
Yeah.
The second year, they're like, okay, we should win. And then they didn't. And then the third year, they didn't.
Yeah, well, their number was gone after
right?
two,
so
I think.
It's,
yeah.
It's how you can put together – that's a gutsy move. I can't remember the coach's name, but that's a gutsy move to say, we're putting these five freshmen on the court at once.
God, I forget his name. Not Bill Fisher. Oh, shoot. He ended up coaching at San Diego State. It'll come to me. That's who that was. Different sport. The team, I think, that like they've never won. Michigan, the Wolverines actually do have a championship. That team in, I want to say, 86 or 87 with Ramil Robinson and Glenn Rice.
Oh, yeah.
They beat Seton Hall in overtime, yeah. But in hockey, that Sedin Vancouver Canucks, they should have beat the Bruins. They should have beat the Bruins.
They had a lot of talent with a really good goalie, and it just fell apart. And I agree with you there. Well, I never even thought of that, but that was a good team. I thought that like BX was on that team. They, there was like just Luongo came up with a stinker in game seven. To game seven, but he came up with a stinker in game seven that he'll probably, I don't know how much it eats. He made over $100 million in his career, so I don't know how much it bothers him. But yeah, that was a team that should have won a championship for sure.
And he was completely average on the road. Like that whole playoffs, he was on the verge of stinking on the road, but he was playing well at home, I blame Luongo. Like you want your superstar goalie to win one on the road. That's not too much to ask.
You look what Price is doing now. It's 2-2 game there right now. You look what Price is doing on this playoff run that they're on right now. We talked about it off air a little bit, but the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers must be just kicking themselves in the junk right now because, opportunity missed for both those franchises.
Oh, because, sure, not to sell Montreal short or anything like that, but you watch this hockey and then you're watching the Avs and Knights play. Like, that's
night and day.
Uh-huh. It looks, I don't know if it's the crowd. I don't know what, but it looks like a better brand of hockey, and whoever comes out of here, I think they're going to have a rude awakening.
They're a little overmatched. It's funny. We're not that far away from when having full stadiums was the norm, or is the norm, I guess. It looks like there's 100,000 people in those buildings when they're full like that. It looks like it's just, it's crazy.
They're sitting on each other's laps.
It's insanity. Like we're not that far removed from it. It's crazy to me. It's just, anyways.
I have no idea. Is there Do you have to prove vaccination or just get your ticket? And
I think in Vegas, masks are like they're just a thing of the past, and you just let's give her. Like let's just we're going for it and having a good time. Another team, and I'll ask another question when it comes to this, but a team that didn't win a championship probably should have had four shots at it, the Buffalo Bills in the 90s. Oh, that's got to be a kick in the pills to go four times in a row and not get one.
It's to make the championship game 4 years in a row is such an accomplishment, but then no one remembers you for being a winner. They remember you for losing. And that team's not a loser. Like it's such an accomplishment, and it makes you wonder. Scott Norwood, wide right, in that first one against the Giants, and they get that first one through, and then now maybe they become the dynasty.
Yeah,
Who knows? But, you know, and they kept losing by more and more every Super Bowl, too. Like, oh, poor because Jim Kelly.
I think you would get to a point where, like, fuck, here we go again. Here we go again. And there's, and your confidence, just you lose your confidence on a.
You keep telling yourself it's going to be different this time. It's going to be different this time. And then all of a sudden, a turnover or something happens.
It's like that high school breakup. It'll be different this time. She loves me.
Oh, baby, I've changed.
I've changed. As you call her drunk at 2 a.m. Oh, baby, I'm not drunk. What are you talking about?
You up? Can I come over?
I've changed. What are you doing? No,
I just want to come over and talk.
You know, why don't you ever talk to me? It's 2 a.m. Not that you and I ever have. We just heard the conversation. You and I have never done that, Dave, obviously.
That's what they do in the movies, right?
That's right. Another one that I thought about, and these, and there were some talented players in the 90s. Those Cleveland Indian teams.
I had that one down as well. They lost to the Marlins. And then
they couldn't get by the Yankees. They lost to the Braves. Man, they had some players on those teams. Manny Ramirez, Albert Bell, Kenny Lofton, who was playing shortstop? Super.
Visquel.
Omar Visquel. Then Alomar.
Jim Thome was on that
Jim
team.
Jim Thome was on the team. Roberto Alomar went and joined to try to help out. Just
they
amazing,
had some good teams.
Amazing teams and could just never do it. Like that team, that team that almost won, that lost the Cubs in, what was it, 16? Yeah. That Indians team had nothing on those teams in the 90s.
Yeah.
Wow, and they never got one. They just the wrong era, I guess.
Yeah, and they got close to, like, I want to say they lost in game 6 or 7 to Florida Marlins. That was with – Levon Hernandez.
He was getting pitches about a foot outside from Eric Gregg as the umpire.
God, that was the biggest strike zone ever in the history of baseball.
Eric Gregg had to get to the all-nighter buffet because he was ready to go. Terrible. Levon Hernandez was getting some calls on the outside corners. Not even the corners, inside the batter's box some nights. It was crazy. How bad that was.
Yeah.
Dave, but yeah, would you rather get to the final? Like, would that be cause for divorce if you get to the finals or the Super Bowl or whatever, 3 or 4 years in a row and just don't?
Oh, no, you stick with that team, because when it comes to the finals, like, it's an accomplishment. It's very hard to do. And your team's doing something right if you're playing in the championship game. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes it rains, right? Like, it's and you get teams like Phillies who get their one sniff and cash it in, right? With who is it? Doc Holliday and Cole.
It's Cole Hamels. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, that would jump off the bridge kind of shit. Especially the Buffalo Bills losing 4 in a row.
I'd rather do that, be a Bills fan, than be an Indian. A Browns fan and never making the big game. Right? Like, they've been average for so long. They've been bad for quite some time. But before the Bills, it was the Denver Broncos that were the perennial whipping boy in the Super Bowls. There, they got their ass handed to them in 3 Super Bowls with John Elway. And I stayed true to them because they're doing something right. But they ran it. They ran into Joe Montana and Phil Simms and who else kicked it? Oh, and Doug Williams for the Redskins kicked their ass. It was awful. It was tough. But they were in the game, and I'd rather be a Broncos fan than a Browns fan every day.
Yeah, I guess it's better than being like the Browns are mediocre, not even mediocre, but I don't know. Like, year after year, you just get the I don't know. No, it's a thing, I guess. It's just, it'd be tough to get to the championship and then lose again.
It, Well, here we go. And then, but just even as a fan base, you'd be there. And it makes you wonder, like, because when I watch those big games, and I know you're the same way, I'm watching it alone or maybe one person. Like, it's a very select guest list for a big game that I need to watch. I wonder when the sports bars in Buffalo, like, would people still go? Like, were they still packed on Super Bowl number 4?
Probably
like, it's
not.
Like, Jesus, are we going to go here again? And like, even the bar is like, okay, let's.
Because fans have their superstitions. That's a good point. Fans, okay, we lost here this year. We're going to try a different one next year.
We're going to do something different. Yeah. I'm going to wear my Thurman Thomas, not my Jim Kelly jersey. I'm going to wear a roadie instead of a home jersey.
Because I'm a fucking loser. I know this. I did it last night for the Yankees Red Sox game. I had a different jersey on last night. I put it like a jersey on that I wore in 2019 Yankees Red Sox game. Yankees won that game. So that, okay, I'm going to break this slump tonight. And they lost anyways. So, because you know what? They didn't know what I was wearing.
Maybe you should have got that A-Rod autograph ball out of its case instead of just like
throw it into the fucking woods or something. Maybe that's what I should do.
Maybe that's the thing.
Maybe burn that thing. It's maybe that's been the curse since I got that thing. The Yankees haven't been worth a shit. That just might be it. Anyways, speaking of baseball, because that pretty good segue there, Dave. The Rick Award. Rick Award, we're a day late and a dollar short with it, but we'll get back on it. We were going to talk about it yesterday. We decided to go for one more day. My God, Dave, I was quite shocked at this one. But go ahead, you take it away.
Well, did we award it yesterday?
No, we did not.
Okay. Well, the poll indicates, and I think you and I are in the same place. Mazzucato is the kid's last name. He's a senior in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Four no hitters in a row. And then there's actually the clip that's on the Rick Award. It shows him pitching to an inning. It's not just gas. He has a nice breaking pitch.
He's got it all. He's a big left-hander. He's going to keep his arm.
It looked nice.
As long as he can keep his arm healthy, he's going to make a couple of bucks, I think, that day.
So I think it is Frank Mazzucato I think his name is. So, like, congratulations, Frank.
But today, I'm the greatest of all time.
Put that on your resume. You're an award-winning pitcher now.
You're an award-winning pitcher before you even graduated high school. We'll get you.
Non-monetary, you're still an amateur. Don't worry, we're not going to screw you on your NCAA.
So there we go. Yeah. We'll get you out there, Frank. We'll send out the cheers tonight. You beat Javi Baez with his running display against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So this week's Rick Award, I have I got one for you. A girl by the name of Montana Fouts.
Ah, you stole mine. We should have talked.
Did I steal yours?
Okay, yeah, you go ahead, though,
because I have another one.
Okay, well, she's pitching for Alabama in the Women's College World Series. Her first start, she struck out 16 of 22 in the first game of the World Series, the College World Series. Second game, pitched a no-no. And so that's
perfect game.
It was a perfect game. I thought it was just a no-no.
No, perfect game against UCLA.
Okay, there we go.
F-U-C-L-A. Yeah, there you go.
Yep. So
on her birthday.
Yeah, on her birthday. So good for you. That's an accomplishment in any league. And back to back, obviously she's dialed in. And cool name too.
Montana Fouts.
Yeah. Whatever
you don't make it as a pitcher, she'll be on television someday as a sportscaster. I don't know what her major is, but with a name like Montana Fouts, it can't hurt to be in the world of sports. It's too bad she just goes to Alabama.
Yeah, that is. I was thinking that too, but oh well. Hopefully she doesn't hang out too much with Nick Saban.
They signed him today to for a 5-year extension or 6-year extension. If when his contract's over, he'll be 78 years old, still coaching. Nicky Saban.
Why not?
Well, he looks good. I mean, little Grecian formula, the white touch of gray, the wife likes it, I guess, but whatever. I got for my Rick Award, I'm going to go with Vladdy Jr., Vladimir Guerrero Jr., playing for the Toronto Blue Jays. Right as of this moment, unless Tatis did something last yesterday that I wasn't aware of, he's right now, he's up for, he's got all the stats, the Triple Crown, batting average, RBIs, and home runs. The kids coming through what they've been touting about in Toronto for quite some time now. He lost some weight. He's playing, he's hitting the ball like nobody's business. And he's, I don't think he'll win the Triple Crown. That's a pretty, it's a tough thing to do, but he's my Rick Award finalist for this week anyway. So the numbers he put up this week were pretty astonishing.
He's raking. And you know what? Like with that, he's actually showing some pretty good wheels on the base paths too. It's not just with the stick. So yeah. He's a difference maker. He's, I don't know if, like we talked about it the other day, I don't know if it was on air or off, that he got upstaged last year by Bichette and Biggio and those guys. So he clearly took it to heart. He worked his ass off in the conditioning room, and he's a better player, and he's all in, and he's a beast this year. And good for him and good for the Jays, because he had a lot of pressure. Like, we heard about him when he was 17 years old, the Jays. He's the best prospect in baseball. We heard that for 3-4 years before he even made it to the league. And now to live up to those expectations and start the year with just beating the shit out of the ball. It's good for him. 50
plus games in, the Jays are right in the hunt for the American League East, which is good for baseball in Canada, and good for Vladdy. He's finally coming through. So this week's Rick Award nominees: Vladdy Jr. against Montana Fouts. Montana Fouts, Alabama. Vladdy Jr. Toronto. Get your votes in. Vote often. Vote early. However it's said, and we'll get that up on the Twitter accounts tonight, tomorrow morning, kind of deal. Depends. Depends when I get it up there, I guess. But keep voting. And once again, congratulations to Frank Mazzucato. We'll send you a shout out later on tonight. And I don't know. We'll figure something out to get you. You should give us a call, Frank. We're going to at you on Twitter. You should send out a message saying thank you very much for the Rick Award. I know you probably won't.
We'll get you a nice hat.
We'll get you a nice hat. If you get a hold of us, if you contact us with a thank you very much, we will get you a Rick Award hat or whatever somehow, some way. That might be a fun little thing. So anybody who listens to this, get it out there. That might be fun. Get it out there and see if Frank gets back to us here at the 1420 podcast. We'd greatly appreciate the feedback. Dave?
Well, like, all you got to do, Frank, is Siri, direct message 1420 Sports Podcast at Sports 20. Send me my hat. Here's my address.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do, Frank. We'll put it out there and we'll have a few laughs. And who knows? You might enjoy the show.
Yeah, why not? We do swear though, Frank. We do swear. I know you're in only in high school.
Oh, but fuck, I swear in high school.
Oh, so could I, especially, yeah, of course. American ball players.
When did you start swearing? Like, how old are you? I know you went to a Christian school and everything else. And
I swore.
When did you start really getting into her?
Probably, I think I would have been 18. I got a job roofing.
Well, that's when you started swearing?
Oh, that's when the F-bombs really started. That's when I really started getting a handle on the swearing.
I was nine or ten. Like, just
gross. Oh no. Oh no. Just
terrible.
I kept a fairly clean mouth. I was a smart ass, but like, yeah, the F bombs and especially like the JC and goddams, I did not use those ones at all.
Oh, I was just Margaret, I'm sorry. Like, it just, I was terrible. I don't know how it came about, but I was terrible at a very young age. And I still have not cleaned my act up. I swear, I
was mouthy, but not, I was in a potty mouth. I
like swearing. I don't know why it accentuates what I'm trying to say. I don't know why. I love swearing.
Oh no, same here. Like it's I don't know if it's for shock value or for what, but
I don't even know it half the time.
Yeah. I do because I managed to keep it fairly PG when my son's around, but you know, if I'm into a story, then the JCs and F bombs flow pretty free.
I went to do you got a second, Dave?
Well, I'm not going anywhere. It's period break. Habs and Jets just are tied after third, so it's
period break. I was working up north somewhere, got like way up north, where like when if you're not swearing, you're not working. And came home, messing out there, and bank card had to get it. It was all buggered up, so I went to the bank and they gave me a new card. They said, "Do you have online banking on your phone?" And blah, yeah, yeah. And the guy goes, "Do you know how to set it up?" I go, I holy effing this. I couldn't figure this effing thing out and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I know what you're saying. That's why I asked you the question. But, dude, you got to quit swearing because there's people like, oh, for fuck's sakes, blah, blah. And this guy's eyes were just lit up like, I cannot believe that this guy's doing this. The girl, the other teller, she couldn't stop laughing. She's like, oh, this guy's something else. And I'm dead sober. Like, I was just like, oh, that fucking thing. And I threw my fucking phone, blah, blah, blah. And then I stopped and went, oh, yeah, sorry.
You forgot you weren't at a bar because
I forgot I wasn't in a bar or up north working. I was at a bank. Oh, geez, it didn't go very well. So I've been a swearer for a long time. Anyways, 1420 podcast. Frank, get a hold of us. We'll get you a hat and we'll get you an award for your mantle. During our little break in the action during the 1420 podcast, we stayed off the air just long enough to watch the Montreal Canadiens advance the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Tyler Toffoli scored the overtime winner. My gosh almighty, I cannot believe the Montreal Canadiens with the record, they should never been in the playoffs in a regular, like in a normal non-COVID season. They would never made the playoffs with the record they had and the way things were rolling. And now they're going to the semifinals of the Stanley Cup. Dave, what's your thoughts?
2 weeks ago, these Smelts were down 3-1 to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And the world had them cut off.
Yep. 7 games later, they're crossing the border. They're gonna be in the Stanley Cup semifinals, and you know what? Why not them? My heart's not really supporting any team, so I'm gonna cheer for them. I don't see them beating anybody that's playing south of the border, but hats off. They just ripped off 7 games in a row.
It's crazy to me. Like winning 7 in a row in the regular season or in any level is tough, but in Stanley Cup playoffs, my God, it's I don't have a dog in the fight or horse to race in these playoffs. But I'm not. If it was any other Canadian team that was doing this, I would probably be cheering for them. I'm not cheering for the Habs. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not cheering for them, but. Yeah, sure. I want them to do well. I don't want them. I hope they don't just get run right out of the building when they get against the Knights or Avs. I don't know how they're going to do it, but you know, stranger things has happened. 10 days ago, they were down 3-1 to the Leafs.
I was watching the highlights again. Sorry, it was I can't believe that they're at the state they're in right now, and it's. Goaltending when you once again, Dave. You show me a good goalie, I'll show you a good coach.
Yep, and and they got a hell of a coach right now.
And then the GM with his red suit—that's something else. Anyways,
oh, does he look French?
Oh, does he look French? And that's not being bigotry or anything. He looks French.
He looks French.
He looks French. Anyways, Dave, you were mentioning, and I knew this, I should, because my niece is a big soccer person, and I did know this, and Euro is coming up. It's going to be a different year again, once again, but the world's coming back into order. It's good to see soccer. It's a main stage coming. It's always a great big event. Give me your take on what's going to happen in Euro 2021.
Well, it's so they're still calling it Euro 2020. It was canceled last year.
They bought the T-shirts, and they got to sell them, I guess.
Then why not? You're not going to have that's a lot. That's a lot of fucking letterhead you got to throw. Yeah, away you got to get
a lot of T-shirts.
So, so Euro 2020 is going to take place starting in just a day or two, I believe. I don't. It starts within a week here. It's normally there's a host city. This year they are hosting it in 11 different cities across Europe to cut down on travel and keep teams separate just in case the vid rears its head again. But it's a huge event. It's the second biggest thing in soccer after the World Cup, and I find myself as a former player, even though I don't watch Premier League and all that as often as often at all. I rarely watch it. I do take time to find some time to watch it because it's the game at its highest level. I always cheer for Holland. They're kind of a dark horse. The team to beat this year is probably France, the defending World Cup champions. France, when they won the World Cup, one of their studs was only 19. And so he's 22, and they're Vegas favorites. And there's always a group of death. So it's France, Germany, Hungary, and Portugal. Germans are always good, and Portugal has Ronaldo. So that's your tough group.
Where's Greece in this thing?
Greece did not qualify this year.
No.
Yes, they lost out to Macedonia.
That's not even a real country.
I'm looking at it. Macedonia is playing in the same group as Austria, Netherlands, North Macedonia, and the Ukraine.
Go Ukraine.
See, and remember that also too, is that the Greeks won it, I think, two or three championships ago.
Not that long ago.
And Iceland had its magical run. And we got that Viking clap, which was also a kind of a cool cheer. Yeah, so you never know when the small teams have made noise the last two, three tournaments. So it's always nice to see an underdog come through.
If I was to put a 100 down on Bulldog for the Ukrainian national team to win the Euro, I'd probably be a millionaire if they pulled that off, eh?
Yeah, that would be some pretty good odds. I was looking at
I don't know, but I can't see the Ukraine pulling this one off.
No. Well, there's 24 teams in here. So Ukraine's going to be, who's their group? Ukraine, I'll give them a puncher's chance because
the Montreal Canadiens are going to the semifinal Stanley Cup playoffs. The Ukraine's got a fighter's chance.
Right, because they're in a group with Netherlands, team, Macedonia, Ukraine, and Austria. So that's a pretty easy group compared
to
France.
They'll beat Macedonia.
You got a hold.
That's not even a real country.
I don't even know where it is.
Can you
and
drive
I'm pretty
there?
Good on a map.
I have no idea where
it is. Well, you can drive there from probably Greece, unless you got to take a boat. You might have to even take a boat. Macedonia's in it, and Finland's in it for the first time in a long, long time. And what's kind of neat about the soccer, especially European soccer, so Scotland has its own team, Wales has its own team, England has its own team. It's not just the United Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
So England, Scotland, and Wales are in it. So there's... It's kind of a neat thing.
I'm going to go on bulldog.auca, whatever they have it going on there, and I'm going to put some dough down. Daryl Sutter said it best in the 2004 Stanley Cup playoffs. Want to win, get a Finn. Finland versus the Ukraine in the Euro final.
Oh, geez. If you hit that trifecta, that
I'm never working again.
Ever. Because that ain't going to happen. There ain't no way. I'll guarantee that. Speaking of the gamble, like we've mentioned back in the day, I played soccer for the University of Lethbridge Pronghorns. I posted the link earlier on today. I'm going to post another link. They have a pool, a bracket, similar to the bracket, March Madness, but obviously there's pool play. Yeah, exactly. It's $20 to enter, chance to win $1,000. I'll put the link up there. It's a fundraiser for the program, for the men's soccer program at the University of Lethbridge. So if either you're degenerate or just want to pay some interest onto what's happening in Euro 2020.
And it supports a good cause.
And it supports a good cause. Yeah, click it, throw your $20 in the bin. And then we got something to talk about because the dog days are coming up pretty quick and it's going to get boring talking about baseball all the time.
Well,
unless the Yankees keep losing, because I can always listen to someone bitch about the Yankees.
Fucking wreck that
is. So my pick, I think France is going to win, but it's go Holland. Team two is Belgium. It are my two picks.
Finland and Ukraine. There we go. Finland and the Ukraine. Never. It's got to happen.
Redlinsky, is that a Ukrainian name?
Swedish.
Swedish?
Of course it's Ukraine.
Well, I don't know. It could be Polish.
Well, it's a Polak-Ukrainian mix. There's a lot. It's a long story to tell. We don't have time for that in the 1420 podcast. It would go until 3 in the morning explaining that.
Yeah, I would lose interest, yes.
It's me and I've lost interest already. Anyways, yesterday we did. We started our one-hit wonder bracket. We're going to get two more picks. We did, at this moment, Billy Vera and the Beaters. And Come and Eileen, Dexy's Midnight Runners, the Emerald Express. We're going to get two more for the poll. Dave, what do you got for another 80s one-hit wonder?
Well, it's kind of funny. I knew we were going to talk about it, and you think about it for a couple of days, and I obviously had my suggestions down. Not 20 minutes after the poll, after we signed off yesterday, it was like, oh, fuck, and I sent you the video. Rat, Round and Round. That was a good tune.
That's a really good tune. I like me some Round and Round. I've had the good fortune of being at the Sunset Strip where Rat was in their heyday, the Whiskey a Go-Go and the Roxy and the other place, and their picture's still up on the wall there, like the... They're rock royalty on the Sunset Strip. So Rat, Round and Round. I will agree with you on that one, Dave, that that they can be probably in the top three so far of one-hit wonders. They had another song that was okay, but I wouldn't call it. So they're a one-hit wonder for sure. Rat, Round and Round. Stephen Percy, I think, was his name. I think they're originally from San Diego. That's I don't know why I know that. It's kind of
stupid. Yeah, there's no way. You could be lying to me, but I'll take your word for it.
No, I just Stephen Percy.
That was the summer for me between grade 9 and 10, and I went and visited my aunt and uncle who lived in Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they had MTV, and that was in heavy rotation.
Yeah,
that time. So I saw that video 100 times. And I never bought the album because it really wasn't my genre of the day.
I think my sister bought that record at the Mac store in Fort McLeod, actually. For some reason, Mac sold records at one point. I don't know what was all about. But.
Well, because you could rent movies there, too.
Yeah, it was weird.
Anyways.
Okay, I got... We talked about Tainted Love, but one that I quite like, and I don't know if they're a one-hit wonder or not, but I think it was from the Breakfast Club soundtrack, and I think it's Simple Minds. Don't you forget about me.
That's on my rotation still.
I'm throwing that one onto that. That's a pick for me. I think Simple Minds, that was their only one. I'm not 100% sure, but I quite like that tune.
I love that tune, and my son knows that it's on our road. Our road trip album. It's because it's a great song, and it was a it was a super movie. Really good song. I think they have another hit though.
Okay.
I think they have another hit. We'll talk about it. Well, I won't look it up while we're talking because that just distracts. But I think they had another hit. I got one more too. I'm gonna just throw into the mix.
Yeah.
Same time frame as Rat. You ever heard of Quiet Riot?
Oh, do I know Quiet Riot?
Have you ever came and felt the come on and felt the noise?
David, there was a time or place, and I had a Quiet Riot t-shirt the whole bit.
With that guy in the mask, with the Mankind mask. There,
and then not that long ago, me, my brother, and another friend of ours, we were once again down the Sunset Strip at the Whiskey A Go-Go. We saw Quiet Riot about 4 or 5 years ago, and what a show that was. I like me some Quiet Riot. There's no getting around that. the show we went to, actually, Kevin Dubrow sadly passed away, the lead singer. He passed away from, a cocaine overdose. It's the facts. His niece came on stage, the show we were at, and sang Come On, Feel the Noise with the band. It was actually kind of neat. So it was really neat. And we walked into 1984 that day. Come On, Feel the Noise. You got it, man. I think that one tops her. So we have two hair metal bands. We have a couple of pop songs, a love song in there. So there's our bracket. Dave, you nailed three out of the four of them. Come On, Feel the Noise. They had a couple other ones, but not Metal Health wasn't a very good song, whatever. So, every bit, you had to be a real fan to know the B-side songs.
Yeah, no, like 100%. Because I did have that Quiet Riot album, but the Come On, Feel the Noise was the one where the tape was getting a little worn.
And they hated that song, hey, because Slade originally did it back in early or late 70s, early 80s. And they hated it.
Oh, I didn't realize it was a cover.
But it, yes. Remember Slade? See Chameleon lying there. Run Away.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Remember Slade? He probably, whatever. But anyways, yes, Quiet Riot. Oh, I like me some Quiet Riot, man. I really do.
I thought you would.
Oh, that's a good, that puts a smile on my face, my friend. Quiet Riot. It's a little known song because if you're, you got to be a complete degenerate to know this song. It was a Slick Black Cadillac. Oh, I like that one too.
That was Quiet Riot.
Oh yeah, Slick Black Cadillac.
I recall that, but I don't.
But they were a one hit wonder. There's no getting around that. They really were. 1983, I believe 83, 84 was when they came up there when the hair metal craze was first getting going. Anyways, good show tonight, Dave. A lot of fun, a lot of laughs. We'll do it again on Thursday. The golf that we're doing from here on in, so you'll get out Tuesday mornings and Friday mornings from here on in, and then whatever else we got going on, unless something else changes in this crazy COVID world. We're almost out of this, people. It's real close. There's some good news on the horizon throughout Canada and the States, man. Oh, man. They're they're giving her down there, which is good, but hopefully everything's on the up and up.
Well, we're only a week away from registering for our second shot. Well, I am anyways. So, like, come July 1st, I'm going to be licking handles, and I'm never going to wash my hands again.
That's just it. We might as well get dirty again, because that's the way we were.
Oh, I'm going to save so much money on hand sanitizer and soap and masks month here.
I see hand sanitizer, I put it on. I've had this thing on the 1420 sound desk here, and I'm by myself in my basement all the time. I don't know why I've always put hand sanitizer on, but I just do.
Well, because you don't wash your hands after the bathroom.
I wash them before.
Don't piss on your hands.
There you go. Why would I wash them after? My dick's clean. I don't know. Whatever.
Neither do I.
That's a cheap, easy joke. I quite like that one. Anyways, we'll talk to you guys on Thursday. Once again, Frank, get back to us. Anybody who knows Frank, tell him to get back to us. If you follow Frank, tell him to get back to us. Frank Mazzucato, we want to hear from you. Montana Fouts, you're a finalist for the Rick Award. Vladdy Jr., Jays fans, get back. Vladdy, know he's a finalist for the Rick Award. Get this thing going. It's a lot of fun. We do a lot of research on this, actually. We find some different people in selling the world of baseball, and we quite enjoy it.
Yep. We're going to tag everybody, the nominees, the winners, get a follow. And we don't follow a lot on the Rick Award. Like, it's a select group. So get your nominations into us, and let's keep having fun with the Rick Award.
Good show tonight, Dave. Thank you very much once again. Take care of each other, more important. Take care of yourself year round. Keep your stick on the ice. And what else, Dave?
Jim, don't swing at high pitches.
Never. Well, listen.
Wow. Like, how high? Like, don't swing at this. At least.
Don't swing at Dave high.
Yeah. And sign up for that Euro 2020 fundraiser for UofL Soccer. It's going to be posted when this show drops.
Go, Ukrainian.